reading a magazine the other night, and I did something that I do not normally do. There are quite a few advertisements, and I don't usually look at them. I just skip right over them. But this time, I found myself reading them, actually paying attention to what they had to say. And they all had one thing in common. They wanted to sell me something. And then I noticed a theme that began to emerge. All of what they were selling was designed to enhance or improve me in some way. There were all of those plans for my financial security. There were suggestions concerning my health, my relationships, my manner, and my dress. You name it, they had a remedy. So the thought occurred to me that if I actually require all of these things, then I must really be in need. And I did not even know it. And of course, to me, that was the point. If I did not know that I was in need, then was I really in need? Who decides? Just who is this needy person that requires such attention? Just who is this self that needs to be fixed? And who does decide what should be done? Well, each of us has a feeling about us, a sense of who we are. And we are pretty much aware of all of our wishes and our wants, our desires and our aspirations. And so I thought about this for a while. And I concluded that we are the ones who determine what it is we expect out of life. Individually, we discover what brings happiness, fulfillment, and satisfaction. We base our conclusions on our sense of self and what we think will accomplish these things. And we all reason in a personal way, independent of what others think or say about us or about them. Now, I know some individuals who require very little of what the world has to offer. They seem to be quite satisfied with a roof over their heads and enough money in the bank just to meet their daily requirements. And they appear to be quite content with where they find themselves, obviously not considering that they need to be improved, fixed, or corrected in any way at all. But other individuals are not quite so content with where they find themselves and with what they have put in place as their world of experience. Their idea of self is that one who is struggling a wee bit, the one that is definitely in need of fixing and correcting, that one that just stands outside a sense of satisfaction and fulfillment. Perhaps what we really need to fix and correct are those ideas and concepts that we accept about us, those ones that we carry as our sense of identification. But exactly how does one give up or surrender erroneous or misleading beliefs about themselves, ones that they had carried with them for a very long time? How do we take on a new sense of us, a new sense of identification? And what would be required to manifest a self that is content and satisfied? Now, our sense of self is essential to our existence. The ancient holy men understood this, and they advised us to know thyself, to control thyself, and to deny thyself. Now, to know thyself is for us to know us by our true name, Christ, the one who does not need fixing or correcting. To control ourselves asks us to control our thoughts and our opinions, the ones that tell us we need fixing or correcting. To deny thyself is for us to deny there is actually a self that needs to be fixed. We're not being asked to give up our joy of life, nor are we being asked to surrender the human body to the ground or to stamp out our personality. We are simply being asked to surrender a sense of self that is not who we are. Now this idea, it seems quite reasonable enough. I mean, I thought it did. However, doing it is not as easy as it would appear to be. Because you see, for many years, we considered our identity to simply be the physical body. And we bore witness to the fact that the physical self could indeed appear to be in need. It can be sick or well, rich or poor. We attribute many various conditions to this individual simply because it has tasted of that tree of duality, enjoying or suffering the consequences of such a belief. Now, this act of self-surrender is really a release or a letting go of the conviction that the physical being is our reality. What gets surrendered and put away is an idea of us that is not our true name, Christ. Now, I mentioned earlier that a sense of identity is essential to our existence. If I am asked to give up a sense of self as one of humanhood, then I must have another idea of me, or I will be without a sense of self, and I will not have existence as anything or anybody. And so we may ask the question, what can I do? In 1 John 3:2, we read, "Now are ye the sons of God." Right now, are we the sons and the daughters of God? This is the identity we can claim now. When man is identified as this self, he may then claim all that belongs to it. When man is identified as that human being, he claims what belongs to that being. Because you see, each sense of identity carries with it certain characteristics that are associated with that nature. And if it is of the flesh, it is what belongs to the flesh. And if it is of spirit, it will be what belongs to God. Now, there are many individuals who have arrived at a certain age. One that the human being describes as mature or senior in nature. And it is assumed that what happens when this milestone comes is wisdom, knowledge, and understanding about life. Perception that somehow eludes those of the younger years. And while I'll agree that this makes sense, that this should be the normal course of events, I've also noticed that many times this is not what happens. I know several individuals who have arrived at this stage in life, still carrying all those ideas of them established in their earlier years of existence. Ideas that may have been planted by someone else, given to us at our time of vulnerability. Perhaps their parents told them they were not worthy. They may have even called them stupid, told them they would not amount to anything, and so being the child, they accepted it to be so. Or perhaps they were compared to an older sibling or a cousin, never permitted to go beyond comparison with these individuals or what they had done, and then determining if they had measured up or not. Or perhaps it was us who sowed those seeds of comparison and inadequacy. And they may have been our excuse for not achieving what we set out to do. Now, these ideas, regardless of who originated them, are planted in our subconscious. And if we are not careful, they will take root and bear bitter fruit, following us to our dying day. Do you see how important it is to establish a true idea of us? Now, when we reach that stage where we may think and reason on our own, we must take full responsibility for our thoughts and for our method of acceptance. We can no longer blame others for their erroneous opinions about us, but nor should we condemn ourselves for those incorrect thoughts we previously had about us. Remember, we were in our earlier stages of learning, and we did not yet know that we did not need fixing or correcting. It is now time to pay attention to what we are doing. And so that first question we should ask is, have we surrendered the sense of a self that needs fixing or correcting? Are we lifting Christ? Or are we still holding up a method or a system of ours or of another? Are we still doing that? Are we lifting the name that is above all names? Have we lifted our identity of being to the Christ self? Or are we still calling us by that name that was assigned by our biological family, belonging to a human form? Only you can answer these questions. All of us desire to be self-sufficient. Now, in human terms, that means to be able to support ourselves, perhaps through work, through education, through wit or charm. It means to maintain an appearance of health and vitality, getting by through mental work or physical might. But the child of God does not give this power to the human form. To be self-sufficient in a spiritual way means that we rely and depend on the spiritual self for our sufficiency. We have come to that point in self-surrender where we do understand that God is, and beside Him, there is none else. And when we arrive there, we will be asked to prove it. We will be asked to stand before the world, free of disease. We will ask to stand before the world in perfect soundness of mind. No human being can do this. No physical form can demonstrate in this way. Jesus is our way shower. He proclaimed, "I am life. I hold the key to life. All power in heaven and on earth is given unto me." Jesus was the one who claimed true self-sufficiency, and he proved it by living the Christ idea into manifestation. Now, you know, we rely on the work of inner self, whether we are conscious of it or not. No human being breathes because he reminds himself to do so. nor can he grow hair or nails by some personal power. No human being can add one cubic measure to himself by the work of thought. No human being can direct that heart to beat, and the liver and the stomach and the lungs to do their work. These things are accomplished by an activity in man, one that is not influenced by personal desire and direction. We cannot achieve and accomplish by our personal name or by our own works. The Bible tells us there is only one name given among men, whereby man may triumph. And this name is Jesus Christ. He told us that what ye ask in his name shall be done unto you. The human selfhood cannot be lifted to such height. This is the self that must die to its own works and its exaltations. Actually, this is the self that we surrender when we say, not thy will, but thine be done. Let us deny this self. Again, Jesus, he said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And then Paul told us how to do this. He understood that we don't just jump into this realization all at once and then be able to stay there. He asked us to die daily to some erroneous belief we carry about life, about God, and about us. One day at a time is what we are asked to do. Paul knew of the intelligence in us, that is, of God. And he knew about that one name, the one nature, the one called Christ. And he said it this way, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth me. And so our affirmation should be none of self, but all of thee. Again, I want to look at the idea of self-surrender and exactly what it might mean in an individual way. Now let's admit it. Many of us do not even like that word, surrender, thinking we're being asked to give up something dear to us. We may be asked to surrender our beliefs or our convictions. You know, those ones that we consider important. We have trouble even looking at the word, never mind doing something with it. Or maybe we think of surrender in connection with war, whether on the battlefield or in the family dynamics. We consider the word surrender to indicate that someone claimed victory, and it probably wasn't us. There is a certain resistance associated with the activity of surrender, and we do not always feel comfortable with it. Now, some of us do not reach a degree of acceptance until we have experienced deep sorrow or distress in a human way. Now, that experience, it might have been the diagnosis of an illness or the loss of a loved one. Perhaps it was us who lost our job and, you know, our family depended on us for survival. Maybe we were that one who lost the home during a hurricane or a catastrophe. All of these events were beyond our control, and we were left feeling lost and defeated. And yes, we displayed all of those attributes assigned to the one in need. And we definitely required fixing in some way. Now, the blessing hidden in the activity of misfortune is that we are forced to admit that we of ourselves can do nothing. We don't even know who we are anymore. Our mental thoughts, our physical might, they no longer work. And we cannot find a way out of our hardship. We had considered us to be self-sufficient. We really did. And yet, now, clearly that was not the case at all. Our back is against the wall, and there don't seem to be any human resources to come to our rescue. It is now a little easier to surrender the self that thought it could make it on its own. We can do this because that sense of self no longer has existence for us. It is gone. But we are still here, and we have existence as someone. The challenge for us is to discover who that someone might be. Now, when this happens, something takes over, and oftentimes a spiritual realization takes place. In this way, we discover that God really is available. Our act of surrender is simply an admission that we have tried everything we knew to do, and nothing worked. And now, for us, surrender brings a sense of relief, letting go when we no longer have anything to hold on to. You see, surrender is not an act of resistance, but rather it is one of release and acceptance. Old ideas about us, they simply slipped away, revealing a new self, one that is called by a different name. My belief is that this act of self-surrender, or giving up so that God may take over, it does not have to wait until we reach a place of desperation. God is present at all times. At any moment we can agree that we of ourselves are not doing so well on our own, and then invite God into our lives. We can admit that our life has known success and failure, always had its ups and its downs. We have identified both the joy and sorrow. And while we cannot say that we have been totally and completely defeated, still, we sense that life has more to offer than the changing scenes and experience that we currently have. This is where we find us, and this is what gets our attention. Our focus is no longer placed on us, on our thoughts, weaving ideas and concepts after ourselves. We've decided not to do this anymore because no one can experience higher than his attention, than his vision. If we want our experience to be higher than that one we currently have, then we must raise our vision from that personal sense to the I Am Presence. It is then that the Christ of God, the truth of us, is seen and known and felt. And that is really where we want to be. This morning we have the opportunity to lift our eyes on high and behold only Him. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, we acknowledge that God is, and beside Him there is none else. The assurance is given, turn to me. You will find me. Turn in an inward way, outside the demands and clutter of human thinking, going beyond thought to that holy sanctuary of inner being. In the absence of thought, we enter the silence, and there we discover our true name, Christ. This self is the one of God, spiritual being, its nature divine. So let us rest in the awareness that God's work is made manifest through his creation, through life itself. God maintains and sustains what he has put in place. Right in the midst of us is the answer to any question, the solution to any problem that we may face in a human way. So let us trust the Lord to do the work. The message is, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. Be still and know that this is so. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.